In this message titled Unwritten Story, Pastor says that the Church of Jesus Christ is birthed and sustained in prayer and encourages not to miss out on testimonies in life due to lack of prayer.
Acts 12 verse 5.
Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him.
Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Peter was in prison, but prayer. When you study the scriptures, the Church of Jesus Christ was birthed in prayer. Acts of the Apostles, the first chapter says, the disciples gathered together, about 120 of them, in the upper room, and they were praying. They prayed. And on the day of the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit of God birthed the church. Can you imagine that? The church universal was birthed, sustained by prayer. As a matter of fact, when you study the book of Acts, if you remove prayer from the book of Acts, there is no book of Acts. The common denominator from the first chapter to the 20th chapter of Acts is prayer. Acts 1 verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Acts 2. The church is born on the day of Pentecost when they were praying. Acts 3 verse 1. At the hour of prayer. Hour of prayer. And some of you who are listening to this word tonight, I want you to, you know, note the Joshua Generation Ministry. If you are not subscribed, subscribe to it. Get connected to us on Instagram, on the Facebook, even Pastor Rajesh Matthew, because we're going to have an hour of prayer in the month of April. Hour of prayer every day for a few days. So for you to be notified, you need to subscribe. Otherwise, you will miss it. The early church was birthed in prayer. Acts 3, at the hour of prayer. Acts 4, the disciples were gathered together again, and while they were praying, the place they were seated was again shaken by the power of God. And they began to speak the word of God with boldness. Prayer brings boldness. Acts 6 verse 4. Set apart. We will set apart ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. Can you see that? Acts 6 verse 7. Many were added to their faith because they were men of prayer. Acts 8:15, when Samaria heard the good news, they sent forth for Peter and John. When they came and when they prayed, the 15th verse, when they prayed, the people in Samaria were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Acts 7:59 and 60, Stephen, he looked up to heaven and he prayed. And he said, Father, I commit my spirit unto you. Acts chapter 9, verse 40. It says there, I think it is 40.
But Peter put them all.
Peter put them all forth and knelt down and prayed. So signs, wonders, the dead rose because Peter prayed. Acts 10:10 and 11. The Bible says, while in the house of Cornelius, while they were praying, the Spirit of God began to move. Acts 12, that's what we heard now. Peter was in prison, but the church prayed. Acts 13, the church in Antioch While they were fasting and worshiping, and while they were in prayer, the Spirit of God said, set apart for me Paul and Barnabas. Mission fields opened because they prayed. Acts 14, verse 23. It says there, they prayed. Acts 14, 23.
And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting.
She ordained elders through prayer. Acts 16. The place of prayer, the sixth verse says. And verses 25 and 26 says, in prison, Paul and Silas, while they prayed and while they were singing songs unto God, the glory of God came down upon that place. Hallelujah. Are you noticing this? There is no book of Acts without prayer. Acts chapter 20, I think it's 36th verse.
And when he had thus spoken, he knelt down and prayed with them all.
See, Paul, he knelt down and he prayed after planting the church. Acts 21 verse 5. And when we had accomplished these days, we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city. And we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. They were not ashamed of prayer. They knelt down on the shore and prayed. A dangerous mission Paul is going forth. He says, some of you I will not ever see again. But they all knelt down and they prayed on the shore. Acts 22 verse 17. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. Read on. I think it is 32. Am I right? Acts 22. Well, you can look through that later. Acts 22. Yeah, I was looking at 22:17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. Supernatural experiences are for those people who pray. Acts 28. Acts 28, verse 8.
And came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him.
Signs, wonders and miracles when Paul prayed. Bible study is great. It's good. Please study your Bible. But it should not be a substitute for prayer. While the church prayed, but the church prayed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible says we are the epistles of Christ. You know, I wonder what kind of testimonies we are missing out in life because we don't pray. What kind of chapters are not being written about our lives because we don't pray? There was no book of Acts without prayer. God can heal your marriage when you pray. God can bless your children when you pray. God can heal your body of sickness when you pray. Without prayer, you don't have a story. You cannot be the epistle of Christ where people can see you displaying the glory of God without you being a man or a woman of prayer. People who pray are powerful. People who don't pray are pitiful. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul prayed earnestly. That this thorn might be taken away from the flesh. For thousands of years, people have been debating what that thorn is. It's persecution. Numbers, the book of 33, speaks about that. The Gentiles, the nations that were around you, were like thorns on your side. People who ridicule you for your faith, laugh at you, mock you, they are the thorns, the ones who reject you because you stand for Christ. But what is amazing is prayer is equal to grace. When Paul prayed, God said the thorn is not going to be removed. There'll be people who trouble you, but my grace is sufficient for you. My grace, lift your hand and say, Lord, your grace is sufficient for me. Jesus, your grace is sufficient for me. The grace of God is sufficient for us. Prayer is the oil of the church. Prayer is the oil of the Christian. If there is no oil, a vehicle will seize up. It will stop. There is no oil, the engine will stop moving. Without prayer, easy things become hard. God blesses you with a good marriage. You're married. Now you're finding that marriage very difficult. You prayed, asked for that girl. You prayed, asked for that boy. God blesses you. Now this is pretty tough, that marriage. Why? Because you're not praying. You asked God for that baby. God blessed you with that child. Now you're troubled, you're worried, you're worked up, you're anxious. Now it's hard. The blessings of God becomes hard when you don't pray. But remember this, with prayer, even hard things become easy. Open your mouth and say, hard things become easy because of prayer. Amen. Can you imagine that? I've seen people who have gone through tough times. I mean, with the challenges that they've gone, they should have died. But you see them smiling. You see them still on fire for God. Sometimes the challenges that you've gone through, somebody else who doesn't pray would have lost their mind. That sickness could have taken your life. But prayer. Prayer is the oil. It is the grace that flows into your life when you pray. You know, when prayer is a waste of time, when you pray for something that is not in the will of God. When you pray for something that God has already done, you're wasting your time. When you're praying, when God has asked you to do something and you don't do it, it's a waste of time. Otherwise, prayer is never a waste of time. That is why when Paul was writing to the church in Ephesians, he said, I pray that your eyes would be opened and enlightened, that you might have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you might know what you have. You don't have to convince God to give you something when you know it's, you just have to receive it. So how do I pray? Confidence in prayer always begins with the name of Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 13. It says there, if you ask anything in my name, read on.
And whatsoever you shall ask in my name.
And whatsoever you shall ask in my name.
That will I do.
That will I do.
That the Father may be glorified in the Son.
That the Father may be glorified. See, you're bringing glory to the Father. Every time you ask the Father anything in the name of His Son Jesus. Whatsoever you should ask in my name. Your confidence in prayer is not in your name. It is on the person of Jesus Christ, God's Holy Son, who came on this earth in the flesh, died for you and for me on the cross of Calvary, shed all of His blood, redeemed us by His blood, was buried on the third day, rose again from the dead, revealed Himself to 500 people at then was taken up into heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father. One of these days He will come back in great glory to receive His church. It is in the name of Jesus we have confidence. In His blood, in His righteousness. You have to pray, when you say the name of Jesus, you have to pray seeing the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. The perfect sacrifice of Jesus. You have to look to that and pray. You're praying in His righteousness. You know, we know the scripture in John 14 verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. No one goes to the Father except through me. It's a way of life, Jesus. He's your worship. You walk with Him. You talk with Him. You live with Him. That's what it means to take the name of Jesus. Glory to God. His righteousness is ours. Our sin is upon Him. That's what gives us confidence to pray. I am precious blood of Jesus.
When He looks at me from heaven, He says, He's not what I used to be,
but he's his
Jesus. Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Our confidence is in the person in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. In Exodus 33, we know the story which Moses says, Lord, show me your glory. And God says, bro, you can't see my glory. If you want to see my glory, I have to hide you in the cleft of the rock. And Moses is taken into the cleft of the rock. The rock is Christ. And God made all of his goodness to pass before Moses. Wow. Can you imagine that? Exodus 33, 19. God made all of the goodness to pass over Moses. See, your confidence is when you are in the rock that is Christ. Then what comes over you is the goodness of God. You see the goodness of God in everything. So don't allow the devil to condemn you. Condemnation, guilt, regret are all secret weapons of the devil to take away your confidence in prayer. If you ask anything in my name, Jesus said, I will do it, and my Father shall be glorified in his Son. The more you pray, the less you sin. The less you pray, the more you sin. So how do you pray? In the name of Jesus. How do you pray? You pray the word. That is the promise of God. See, it is always very hard to miss God or be wrong when you quote God. The Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, is a book of commandments and promises. You got to embrace both. Can you say that with me? Bible is a book of commandments and promises. Some people only want the promises. Some people only want the commandments. But Bible is a book of both. John 4 and verse 50. The Gospel of John, verse 4, verse 50. It says there, Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Go thy way. Go is the commandment. Go. Your son liveth is the promise. He took both. He went and he saw. Some people like only the promises. Some people really like the promises. Some people take wrong stuff from the Bible. Like, Abraham lied. So maybe it is okay to lie. Jacob had two wives. Had wives. Not two. No, that is not for you to obey or do. You obey the commandments of God. And you take the promise of God. You're not going to take a scripture to continue in sin. So when you pray for the grace to obey the command. And the faith to receive the promise. I say that with me. I say that again. When you pray for the grace to obey whatever God commands you, and the grace or the faith to receive the promise. Genesis 1, 8 times in the scripture it says, God said and God saw. God said, God saw. So what God says, you'd say it, you will see it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a couple of practical examples. Imagine when you're praying. You're praying because you're sick. We are not anti-doctors. As a matter of fact, your doctor might be an anti. We believe God can heal anyway. Amen. We believe that God can heal through medicine. God can heal through doctors. That's fine. You're not against that. We believe also in the healing that comes when men of God lay hands upon and when elders pray by faith in Christ. But imagine you are sick. There's a time when you're praying, you take scriptures, what God has said. He himself bore, Isaiah 53, verse 5. He himself bore, for he was wounded for our transgressions, for he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So Lord, you carried my sickness. It is by your stripes that I'm healed. You're feeling sick, you're feeling afflicted, but you're saying, Lord, this is your promise. Lord, it is your word in Exodus 23:25 that you will bless our food and water and you will remove sickness from our camp. Father, this is your word. There is sickness in our family. I want you to remove it, Lord. This is your word. Your eyesight, you see, it looks like it is diminishing. You say, Lord, you heal that blind man. It is your word that you give sight to the blind. See, you're taking the promise and you're praying with that. Imagine you want to see salvation for your family. You're taking the promise in Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord. You and your household shall be saved. Lord, I put my faith in you. You saved me by your grace. I want my family to be saved. Because it is your word that you will save my family. And you can pray for your grandfather, your grandmother, your uncles, aunts, your brothers, your sisters, your brother-in-law, sister-in-law, daughter-in-law, children, husband, wife, your 15th cousin. You can pray for all of them. You're taking the promise and you're praying. If you earnestly pray, they'll come out of their prisons. The church earnestly prayed for Peter. Prayed without ceasing. Prayer is just not with your words, it's from your heart, in the name of Jesus. Take the promise, cry before God. Philippians 4:19. We know that you need finances. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. All your needs. Not your greeds. Your needs. Don't say, I'm buying that Louis Vuitton bag by faith. Buy it if you have money. Don't take a loan and buy it. Use a fake one. Nobody will know the difference. Don't get into debt. Saying, I'm building that house by faith. I think I'll have 10 more rooms. No. Don't do that. I'm not like, if you have money, build 10 rooms or 20 rooms, whatever God tells you. But when you pray by faith, with the promise of God, God will meet your needs. And when you begin to see Him supplying all your needs, then that begins to overflow. Then make plans accordingly as the Lord leads you. Smith Wigglesworth used to say, before you trust God for, I forget what he was trusting God for, something big, trust Him for a cake. Huh? Before you trust Him for a cake, trust Him for a donut. One of Smith Wigglesworth's spiritual children is here. Before you trust Him for a cake, trust Him for a donut. Or you want to pray. I'm giving you another example. Or you want to pray for holiness. You come to church and suddenly the preacher is preaching Hebrews 12:14. Without holiness, no one will see God. And you're like, oh my God, I shouldn't have come today. The preacher is in one of those moods. See, but when you take that promise in your prayer time, when you take that word, without holiness, you will never see God, in your prayer time, and say, Lord, it is your word. And I want to see you. I don't want to sin. I want to see you. It is your word, Lord. Without holiness, no man will see God. I want to be holy because you said it so. And you will be amazed by addictions breaking off from your life, habits of sin breaking off. Because grace will begin to flow every time you pray with scripture. Or you can sit and say, I think I'm dirty. I think I have a lot of addictions. I think it's my, you know, family tree problem. My great-grandfather also used to lie. I'm also lying. Even Abraham was lying. Praise God. You don't come out. My grandfather was very angry. I'm also got that anger. See, that's not how you pray. You take the promise, Lord, it's your word. Without holiness, no man shall see God. I want to see you. I want to be holy. It is your word that blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. I want to be pure in heart. I have these unclean thoughts, but it is your word that says, blessed are the pure in heart. I want you to bless me with that. The moment you begin to pray that word, let me tell you, God's grace will begin to flow. Or better still, another example. Are you still wanting an example on how to pray? Ephesians 5:22. Wife, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. This is not the scripture that a husband should pray. This is the scripture which was written for the wives. So the wife should take the scripture and say, Lord, your word says, wife, submit your husbands. I find it hard. I mean, he's a total jerk. I think I made a mistake. See, there are many of you who feel that. squeeze the hand of your husband and say, yeah, I'm sorry, I feel that way. But you take that word as a wife and you say, Lord, your word says to submit. I find it hard. I need the grace for this. And when you begin to do that, the grace will begin to operate in you. But if you think you're going to only submit after he changes, or next verse, or husbands, 5:24. Husbands, Ephesians 5:24. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loves the church and gave himself for it. My God, this is the word the husband should be praying with. I have to still preach and still have dinner tonight. So I'm not going to preach much on that word. Once a wife asked her husband, you know, do you love me? He said, yeah. Are you willing to die for me? He said, no, mine is an undying love. But men find it hard to love. Women want to feel and they want to have. And it's not easy. But in your prayer time, if you can take the scripture and pray before God, now this is what you're saying, to love as Christ loves the church. Ooh. And then you say, Lord, I thank you for the grace to love my wife. And before you know, you might be singing songs to her. Some of you will start tonight. Amen. And I close with this. And the third point is this. You pray again. James 5:18. And Elijah prayed again. Some people just pray once and they confess the scripture once and twice and thrice and then they stop. But Acts 12:5 says they prayed faithfully. They prayed consistently. They kept praying. You pray again. It's not like you say, yeah, I tried prayer, it didn't work. You see, many people say, I tried prayer, it didn't work for me. You pray until you get the grace. It is not lack of faith to pray again. Are you with me? Sometimes you've forgiven somebody and then the next day morning you feel, you need to go again and pray and say, I forgive that person, I bless that person. Pray again. Now, the power of Acts 12. Look at that. It says there, when they heard that James was dead and Peter was to be put to death, they prayed. How would you pray for Peter when you just lost James? How do I pray in faith for Peter when I'm disappointed that I've lost James? How do I believe God for that when I'm not over this? That is where the challenge is. In prayer, many people quit praying because I prayed and I still lost that exam. They forget they have to write the supplication. What do you say for that? And if it was James, most probably James would have said, hey guys, don't pray for me, please. I'm in heaven, enjoying heaven now. Don't resurrect me, please. I'm having an awesome time here. Just pray for Peter. They prayed earnestly for Peter, but prayer was made for Peter. And the angels moved into action. Jailbreaking angelic activity is going to happen over your lives in the name of Jesus. If you will pray earnestly, jailbreaking, captivity breaking, bondage breaking, miracles will begin to happen because angels of God will be commanded over your life as you pray. Lakazina from Sambrajia Spata, Limpra Denos, Efendacious Mother. Leah's one tongue healing Zechary. Glory to God. Glory to God. So don't quit praying because you lost James. Can you imagine that? They just buried James, they just come back. They're hearing the news. Peter is in prison, going to die. How would you re-energize? You have to pray. Oh my God, I just, what do you mean? And the pastors go through it. They hardly can go through disappointment. Don't quit. Pray again. Don't let disappointment steal your prayer. Overcome the disappointment by prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Pray steadfastly. Be committed to pray. And you will see the hand of God function forth for you.